Good morning. We are continuing with our study of the book of 1 Samuel. We're in chapter 3, so if you want to open your Bible to that, that would be great. I want to pray again as we continue to seek the Lord on what He is going to teach us through this passage of Scripture. Let's pray. Father, thank you for an opportunity to open your Word. Thank you for your goodness and grace toward us. And we see that in how you handled your children Israel and how you handle your children today. And I'm asking God for each and every one of us as we're spending this time together that we'd be encouraged by this passage of Scripture. We'd be challenged where we need to be challenged. And you would use this for your glory and our good. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I love when the popular culture comes face to face with things that you and I as believers in Jesus Christ have known for a very long time. Recently on Joe Rogan's podcast, and Joe Rogan, I believe, is an avowed atheist, but he'll have these individuals, and it's one of the most popular podcasts out there today. But he'll have different individuals on his show, and he'll interview them. And recently, he had Kanye West on his show, and he was talking to him about an assortment of different things. And you think about Kanye West and his impact on our culture today and how he's come face to face with some things that you and I have just been blessed with over the years. And the topic of expository preaching came up. And expository preaching is what we do here at Grace. It's what churches do when they're taking the word in such a way that they'll work through it line by line. They'll work through every passage. They'll work through books of the Bible, every verse. They don't skip verses. God uses topical preaching. And what that is there's a topic like depression or how to handle your finances or how to have a better marriage. And there's a place for all of those things. But what I've found over the years is what God uses on a consistent basis is working line by line through His Word, verse by verse. And so as Kanye has come face to face with the whole idea of what expository preaching is, listen to his describing that. And it's such a beautiful way that he does it. Take a listen as he does this with Joe Rogan.
One of my pastors, Pastor Adam, who is the way he preaches is called expository. It's like one-to-one by the word. I like all different kind of preachers, but there's some type of preachers, they get up, they have the Bible in their hand, then they close the Bible, and then they just talk for 2 hours. And some do have anointing, but the expository preachers go line for line. And for me, it's like I come from entertainment. I got so much sauce. I don't need no sauce on the word. I need the word to be solid food that I can understand exactly what God was saying to me through the King James Version, through this, you know, through this translation or the English Standard Version.
Doesn't that tell you how blessed we are to have a heritage that he doesn't want the sauce anymore? He's got millions of dollars. He's got a wife who has millions of dollars. He has a sister-in-law that's a self-made billionaire and a family that does very well financially, very well socially, and yet he doesn't want the sauce is what he calls it. And yet many times in churches today, that's the desire. Let's create sauce so that somehow we'll draw these people in. And the thing that people actually need is right here, the Word of God. And so we've believed that for a long time. We know that that's the case, even if we don't feel it sometimes. Even if we look around and we go, but it doesn't seem to be popular today. Doesn't matter. Who cares? It's what God wants. And when God speaks, he wants us to be listening. I mean, think about these verses. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We have a time in the book of Luke where this lady just blurts out something because she's just so happy, and she thinks this will be something that is said that will resonate with Jesus in such a way that that's what will be impressive to him. Listen to how he responds to this. She says this, "As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, 'Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed.'" So he's saying, boy, your mom must be so special. She's blessed. Look how Jesus responds to her. "But he said, 'Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it.'" And then James 1:22 says this, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." And so this whole idea of hearing from God, and so that's why we work through things in an expositional way, expositorily as we work through the scriptures, we want to hear from God. Is it hard sometimes? Of course it's hard. Is it what we want to hear in our flesh? Of course not. But it's what's best. It truly is what is best for us. And so if you have your Bible open to 1 Samuel 3, let's work through this passage together. It's just a great passage of Scripture. And point number one, if you're taking notes, is we hear the call. We hear the call. Look at verse 1 of chapter 3. "Now the boy Samuel," it's important to remember that the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And listen to this. "And the word of the Lord was rare in those days." There was no frequent vision. Remember, this is still the day of the judges. This is, there's no king in Israel. Everyone does what is right in their own eyes. And so there's this narcissistic thing going on. There's this selfish thing going on. I'm making decisions based on how it benefits me, how I feel. And Samuel is growing up in the tabernacle. He's surrounded by worthless religious leaders. The word of God is rare in those days. God spoke, but does his people listen? And this boy Samuel is ministering under the leadership of Eli. And Samuel was a boy, and Josephus, the Jewish historian, believed that he was about 12 years of age. Let's keep going. Verse 2. "At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place." And so you'll see a pattern with Eli. He's sitting a lot. He's lying down. There's like this spiritual doldrums going on right now. And so did God speak? Well, Eli's old. He's weak. In the tabernacle, we've got this experienced professional priest named Eli. And he may have had all the seminary degrees, but he didn't hear God's voice. God would bypass him, and he would speak to a child instead. So let's not worry about being professional Christians. Let's have our heart be childlike, not childish, but childlike. And Eli's loss of physical eyesight is a problem, but spiritual blindness is worse. Let's keep going. Verse 3. "The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel." So when did God speak? Samuel's ministering to the Lord. He's being faithful. And God, in the midst of that, he's lying down at this point, most likely nighttime. And God speaks. Now, according to Exodus 27, verses 20 and 21, listen to this. "You shall command the people of Israel that they bring to you pure beaten olive oil for the light, that a lamp may regularly be set up to burn in the tent of meeting outside the veil that is before the testimony. Aaron and his son shall tend to it from evening to morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever to be observed throughout their generations by the people of Israel. And so there's this light that is supposed to be lit at all times. And it was the priest's job to see that it was done. And Samuel probably was the one for the job. And Eli's sons weren't doing much more than sinning. And look at the second part of verse 4 on to verse 7. So let me read verse 4 again for you. Then the Lord called to Samuel, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Look at this verse, verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And so notice at this point, Samuel didn't know the Lord personally. Samuel heard God, Eli didn't. He hadn't yet heard from the Lord audibly, but he knew about the Lord. Obviously, he's hearing about it a little bit. He's hearing about it through the Torah. He's hearing about it through the different practices throughout the days and weeks that he's there in the tabernacle. But Samuel knew that God deserved worship and affection. And so I want you to keep in mind that this young boy is looking up to the leadership that is in place. He's not being disrespectful. He's not acting like he's got it all figured out. This brings back to remembrance for me. As a child, we had a record player, and we would have different records that we would play. We play musicals, we play Johnny Mathis, we play these different records. And one record in particular was, I believe, put out by either Moody Bible Institute or Word Records. And it was just children stories from the Bible. And this story was in it. And I just remember hearing the different voices, the different sound effects, those pitter-patter of his feet as he's running to Eli and he's asking, did you call me? And so that brings back good memories for me of a mom who thought enough of that to have that in the house when we were growing up. I just can't sidestep enough the what you're listening to throughout the day and how it has an impact on your children. It had a huge impact on me. And I just want to encourage you that those kind of things, the music, the different things that are just coming into your home. I just want to encourage you, if that's something you need to take steps in to show your trust in the Lord. Sometimes certain things need to be turned off and other things need to be turned on to show this is a house where this is of value. I don't want to have an Eli house. I want to have a Samuel type of house. I want to have a house where as time goes on, they look back and they go, okay, he thought that this was a priority. He thought that this was important. Let's keep going. Look at verse 8. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you will say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood calling, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Isn't that a good way to talk to the Lord as we open his word? So when did the Lord speak, or where did he speak? Well, Samuel's in the tabernacle growing up. And I'll tell you, I heard the Lord on a regular basis through his word in church. I heard it in my home. I heard it at Camp Manitoumi. I heard it in Bible college. We looked in the word. I mean, those preachers in those different places, God used that in my life. The word of God is preached, and we heard from God. And this word here is the word shama. It means to listen for the purpose of hearing and obeying. Isn't that powerful? That's what we're called to. Point number two, we hear the message. We hear the message. Look at verse 11. Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle." Now think about that. I don't know if you've ever been to a concert where it was just so loud and your ears just are rattled. And even after you go out of the concert, it still has an impact on you. It still rings in your ear. He's saying, I'm about to tell you something that when all of Israel hears it, it's going to have huge impact on the body of the children of God. Let's keep going. He says, "On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." So why did God speak to Samuel? Well, God didn't speak to Eli. He had already spoke to him. He spoke to him through, remember that prophet last time we were together? He spoke to Samuel. And why is that the case? Well, Samuel got out of bed. Samuel did what he was asked to do. Four times in one night, he got out of bed. He was willing to move. He was willing to do whatever God asked him to do. Eli wasn't. You see, his sons are still serving for whatever reason. I don't know if he's trying to save face in front of the people that are around there. He picked his children over God. And God's not pleased. And the first message that Samuel gets from God is not nice. This is rough stuff. And that's why even as we share the gospel with people, the message is good news. That's what gospel means. But it starts out with the fact that we're all sinners. There needs to be truth that is shared. So we're all sinners. We cannot save ourselves. There's no goodness in us. There's no inner goodness that God sees. Oh, you got some goodness. There's no goodness in us. And so we need to come to grips with the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, then we will be saved. And so there's an acknowledgement of my sin. There's an acknowledgement that I can't save myself. There's an acknowledgement that Jesus had to take care of it all. I've got nothing that I bring to the party. There's a humility in that. And then I just receive it, that I confess, oh yeah, you're Lord. You're going to be boss of my life from now on. And you're the one who saves me. I owe you. Yep. And those are hard words, as opposed to always telling people how good they are and how great they are. And isn't it nice that we're listening to God? Isn't that good of us? There's nothing here of grace when that goes on. If that's the case, we don't need the cross. And so Samuel's hearing a message that's rough, hard. And what's he going to do with that message? He hears truth. What's he going to do with it? Point number three, we share the message. Verse 15. Samuel lay until morning. So he hears this hard stuff. He loves Eli. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. So he's getting about business. He's being faithful. Isn't it interesting? The call of God goes for people that are doing the work of God in the little things. He's opening the house of the Lord. He's being faithful where he's at. There's times where there are people that you and I will meet that want to do these big things for God. And he's saying, be faithful in the little things, and then I'll recognize that big thing. Quit looking for the big thing all the time. I'll take care of getting you the big thing if that's what is to be the case for you. But we see now that he has to go to Eli and talk to him. And this will not be an easy conversation. Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called to Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he said, here I am. And Eli said, what was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you. So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And so God not only spoke to Samuel because of his responsiveness, but I believe it's because of his tenderness too. Samuel was not in a hurry to rebuke Eli. Samuel had seen what Eli's sons had done, but he still had a tender heart toward Eli. Even if we have a difficult message to share with people, we must share it with tenderness. And so we see here him hesitating, but when the time came, he shared the truth with them. And that's what we need to do. We need to do that with family members. We need to do that with friends. And sometimes that may affect friendships. That may affect family members. But if we do it with graciousness and love, God has a way of taking care of all that needs to be taken care of. Samuel grew. God is with Samuel. God honored Samuel's word. And all Israel knew that Samuel was a prophet. And then God appeared to Samuel again at Shiloh. So how does God work? Well, sometimes he uses these little ones. Last week in church, I had my grandchild put on a Samuel outfit, and her mom came in, and it was Hannah and little Sammy coming into church, and it was a picture of what it was like, because each year, Hannah would come with a new set of clothing for her son. And she would do that. She loved her son. God had given her 5 more children, but she loved her son. And as he grew, she was going to keep bringing that stuff. And it's just a great picture of what God does. And this is a pattern with the Lord. You think about the fact that he's been using children for a very long time. Remember what happened when Israel was in bondage in Egypt? What did he do? He raised up a little one named Moses. When Israel's king wasn't listening, a story that we'll look at a little later as we continue working through the book of 1 Samuel, that a boy who had been anointed, who now steps up and believes God. He actually comes over and he sees, who's this uncircumcised Gentile saying this stuff against the people of God? We can beat anybody. He believed the Bible. He believed the Torah. And God did a great work that day. Another boy who was willing to give his lunch, and God took that through his son Jesus and used it in a mighty way. Jesus being God, creating food out of a little bit of food of a little boy's lunch. And so when we look at the landscape of what's going on in our country today, and we can get discouraged, understand that God is hand on, maybe it's your grandchild. You could look at him right now, your child or your grandchild, and you could look at it right now and go, I don't see it at all. But Hannah didn't know what would happen with her son as she gave him to the Lord. There was a huge amount of trust as Moses' mom placed him in that little ark, pushed him out into the Nile. Jesse, as he's raising David, he forgot about David when Samuel came to anoint. The last one on his mind, God did that. And also we think of this, that this next month, when God knew we needed help, he sent a baby, his son. And so today, as you look at what's going on, and it could be really easy to get discouraged about what is going on, things are out of control, understand that maybe you and I need to stop. We've got so much information, so many words coming our way. I saw this video the other day, and I thought I'd share it with you. Take a look at what Chuck Swindoll has to say about listening.
Everything around us is designed to make us dissatisfied with our present circumstances. Hi, I'm Chuck Swindoll. Author Henri Nouwen, in one of his fine little works, said, when he was driving through Los Angeles on one occasion, it reminded him of driving through a giant dictionary. In his words, there were words everywhere, sounds everywhere, signs everywhere. All of them saying, look at me. Buy me. Love me. Hold me. Use me. He found himself longing to get away from all the words and the signs and the sounds. Why? Because it was all so without God. You see, God is not a God of exclamation points and marketing campaigns. He doesn't yell and scream for attention. He's a God of serenity and mercy. A God of provision and contentment. Listen for God's voice.
How do we listen today? What do we need to do? What do we need to turn off and then turn on? We got to get away from distractions. We don't want to just lay next to a tree and think bold thoughts. I mean, that's nice every now and then to relax. But how do we listen to God? We open His Word and speak, Lord, for Your servant hears You. And I obey His Word. There's a little boy singing the song, Trust and Obey. And he actually got the words wrong. But maybe he got it right. He sang, Trust and Okay. How are you doing today with trusting the Lord? Let's pray. Father, thank You again for just being able to spend this time together. Thank You for how we can trust You and look to You. And I'm asking You, Lord, to make us people that look to You in all of these things. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.